Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Friends in D.C., the Caps. Congratulations on the win last night. Congratulations to our friend Spencer. And best of luck to them and Ovi. That was incredible last night. I've become a huge Caps fan since I've been here. So best of luck to them.
That was GM Adam Peters of the Commanders ahead of his draft press conference yesterday, giving some love to the Capitals. We are downtown at Penn Quarter, where we're near the arena. Game two tonight, Caps-Canadians. We're going to be throwing a little party leading up to puck drop here as people get out of the office, get down here rocking their red this afternoon into the evening. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. He was flanked yesterday, Peters was, by Lance Newmark, his assistant general manager, who is actually a huge Capitals fan. In fact, Newmark is not from the area. I think he told me he grew up in California. But for whatever reason, when he was in California many, many years ago, he became a big Capitals fan. And that's like his favorite team to root for as a guy in sports.
It's like one of the strangest connections ever, by the way.
Yeah, because he was in Detroit for 20-plus years, yeah. Right? And I'm sure he liked hockey, and I'm sure he went to Red Wings games. But I bumped into him at a game one time and introduced myself, and he had happened to watch a lot of some of the Caps coverage over the years. But just a huge Caps fan, so it was kind of cool to see him up there yesterday talking about the Caps and Ovi as well. But he mentioned, Peters did, Spencer Carberry there, our friend Spencer. I didn't get to hear Carbs' pregame today, Danny. Mm-hmm. What were his keys to the game?
Obviously, Montreal presents a great number of challenges for us. That's a good hockey club over there. You've got to go out and establish who you are in the first 10 minutes, withstand their charge. They're going to be desperate, obviously, be accountable with all the pucks in and out of the neutral zone. Get the pucks deep, traffic in front of the net, grind away your shifts, minute to minute, tape to tape. Let's get ourselves a nice 60-minute effort. We'll go from there.
I need something about like Ovi, big man, or O.
And O, obviously,
like
getting us started.
Into the fight.
Yeah, when you've got a presence like that, you've obviously got to make sure he's well-fed. And, have an O get us off to that rip-roaring start. It wasn't just the shots on goal. Those are nice. But have an O just hit everything that moves. I mean, a couple times on the bench, we were ducking because we thought he was going to come after us. But just the intensity that he brings at 48 years old or whatever he is at this time, it's just incredible.
And is your coach of the year very likely in the National Hockey League,
please,
Spencer?
Thank you.
Carberry. All right, let's hear some Peters from yesterday. I got a couple of things I wanted to react to. We played the press conference back end of the show, and then we gave some thoughts, but getting to really dissect it, go back through and listen to everything last night, I jotted some things down. So I want to start with the edge position and the question to Peters about the defensive ends in this class, how they could fit for what Washington's looking for.
Yeah, it's a deep class, which is cool. There's something, I think, for everybody, whether you're a 4-3-3-4 team or multiple. There's guys that are great against the pass. There are guys that are really good against the run. So whether you're taking that high in the draft or somewhere deeper, there's going to be some good players there. So that, along with a lot of other positions, will be open to taking. And I think what's cool is even though we have some really good players in each of those rooms, whether it's edge or O-line or corner, which I'm sure you guys are going to ask about that too, but we have really good players, but we really, DQ preaches competition. So those guys are going to come in and compete, and the best guys are going to play. And the more good player, you can't have too many good players in a room, I guess.
Peters is never going to give you the blueprint. He's not going to say a whole lot in terms of what ways they're leaning. But if you kind of read how he's talking, he will give you little morsels. And what I got out of that was that they do like the group they have a little bit too. You know, we have been dismissive. I don't mean you and I, although we have too. But collectively, I think the media, the fan base in town, we've been dismissive of their current DN group as the possible group going into the season. You know, you could add someone in the mid to late rounds, and that doesn't affect it that much. But I'm talking about Dorrance Armstrong, who's a starter. Maybe it's Dietrich Wise, who comes over from New England. Jacob Martin, they signed from the Bears. I view him as a guy that may or may not make the team. Maybe they have a bigger role planned for him. You're thinking about, like, Cleland Farrell, who was hurt last year, but maybe they think if he was healthy and on the field, they'd stop the run better. They drafted Javonte Jean-Baptiste out of Notre Dame last year by way of Ohio State, former seventh-round pick. Maybe they liked what they saw. He got hurt as well. Jalen Holmes is another guy that comes to mind. They still have Andre Jones, the former seventh-round pick 2 years ago, who's been in the program. So he talks as if we got a bunch of guys ready to compete. We feel okay. I think that's just coach speak. I think he's just saying that publicly they like their guys, which is what a GM should say. I just don't believe it. I think you need still a 10-sack player. Armstrong might be an 8-sack guy, Danny. Wise at this point of his career is maybe a 5- or 6-sack guy. Farrell's probably a 3-sack guy. I don't think Martin's even that. I don't know how you go into the year and get enough pressure and enough sacks and enough hits on the quarterback without adding one more legitimate edge piece.
So that's what it looks like on paper to me. That my, you know, I'm not a GM, but my eyes tell you the same thing that everyone else's does, right? Like you read that roster, you read that depth chart wherever you go, and you'd go, well, there's the weak link. It's obvious. It's right there. You lost a guy that wasn't really a positive asset for you on running downs. That was your best pass rusher this past year in Dante Fowler. You have not replaced that yet. In their minds, maybe they have replaced it, whether it's a healthy Farrell, you mentioned Wise, whether it's Eddie Goldman, or who knows what they're thinking there. So last year, going into the draft, going into training camp, regular season, etc., several times over, several different positions, I go, I just can't believe they're rolling with this. Now, they know better than I do, right? And there were sometimes it was either worked around or it was better than people like me thought or whatever. And I've been kind of hitting it and asking that question generally over the last several weeks. Like, I go, I wonder if they're going to get safety. Maybe they think Will Harris is it, right? That they're not going to miss Jeremy Chinn. They found Chinn 2.0 in Harris. I go, I think they probably need a corner. Maybe they're going, we got Jonathan Jones and Lattimore's coming back. It will be great. That's the part that I don't know.
And I think this is how they operate too. It's two straight off seasons of this where there is guesswork on our end because they don't sign obvious starters. They're signing 1 year deals, fairly cheap players typically, which means they're a little bit of a tweener. Now maybe if you get coached up well and you're the perfect fit, you become a quality starter, which happened at a bunch of positions.
Yes, it did.
With some of the guys they signed last year. But to your point, looking at safety for a second, with Will Harris, who comes over from New Orleans, if you were to draft an excellent safety in the first round and then he played behind that guy in Quan Martin as a reserve with Reeves or Percy Butler, that would make perfect sense. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. You didn't pay Will Harris an X amount of money to make him a starter. But you're also in a situation where if you need him to start with Quan Martin, I think that would be okay, too. And they did that at so many positions. They actually talked about this a little bit, which we could get into. But this is clearly their paradigm with how they're built right now. What they feel like they have to do is do enough in free agency to give themselves options. This is about them going in different positions in the draft after pieces they get in free agency based on what they do. I think they like the flexibility of saying, all right, it's not now a huge need for safety, but if we could get one and upgrade, we'd like to do it. And that's a lot of spots on the roster you could say that about. This is what Peters had to say about that.
That was the goal of it in free agency, was to do that so we don't have to force something. And I think we put ourselves in a really good position to not force something. And really, we have a lot of players that we think we can take, whether we sit at 29 or trade up, trade back. But we don't have to just say, okay, we need to look at these three, you know, position X's or these two position Y's. We can look at all these guys across the board and say, okay, who's going to help us the most this next year and then for years to come.
I think you have to prepare for every eventuality in the draft. You know, you don't know who you're going to get in free agency. You have goals and you have exciting hopes for guys. And the road, I would say, to the draft changes throughout the course of the scouting year. And we end up at this point where we feel really good about our options. And I think at every pick, we can look at who we feel the best players are, what position they play, how they affect us in 2025, how they affect us beyond that, and make the best decision for our organization. And we've already had a lot of really good conversations, and we'll continue to do that. And then pick by pick, what's there for us? What's the best decision, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's great to have that freedom and that, you know, kind of mindset where we can really do what we think is best and not be, you know, really tied to need.
It's exactly what we were just talking about.
Precisely.
And that's Lance Newmark, who we were mentioning, the assistant general manager who came over from the Lions, who does a lot as the right-hand man for Adam Peters. By the way, after playing that clip, it just got me thinking about this. I wanted to shout him out. You heard the full presser yesterday like I did. Mm-hmm. He started it by thanking every scout in the organization by name. He then went through, and he did this last year, I remember, as well.
It's a specialty, yeah.
But he went through not only the scouts, but then the R&D department, and then the assistants to all of the various people who are working the long hours. He talked about the names of the people that make the food in the cafeteria. I mean, like, literally, piece by piece in the organization, all the way to the public relations director, Sean DeBarbieri, that was standing next to him. And I bring this up to say, this is not a 20-year executive who's got four Super Bowl rings as a GM, who's been a lifer in this role. This is a first-time GM. Now, he's playing with some house money this year because he just got to the NFC Championship game in year one. But in some ways, still trying to prove himself as being really good. I think a lot of us perceive that he is. But even last year, before he'd ever done a draft, he was doing this.
Yep.
And I think the comfort in your own skin to deflect before the biggest weekend of the year that's all about you as a general manager to other people. Not every GM's doing that. He's got Newmark sitting next to him answering questions, and then he's telling you how good Lance is and how these guys are responsible for this. And when they sign certain players, he says, "No, I want to thank so-and-so for their work because without him we wouldn't have gotten this deal done." I just think for a young GM, that is an awesome leadership trait.
It is a tremendous leadership trait. Stole the word out of my mouth. It makes people want to come to work. You know, we've all been in places. Every one of us has dealt with it, right? Where that boss, whenever there's something bad happened, he's running you under the bus. Whenever something good happens, he's up there glory hogging and taking all the credit. Everyone's dealt with that. In every walk of life, everybody has. The opposite, when somebody has enough confidence in themselves to not necessarily seek the credit out, but you take all the blame when it's bad, and you go, "Hey, we should have done that, or I should have done this better, et cetera." Like we want quarterbacks to do at the podium. And you give shine to everybody else who works hard. And it gets people to buy in. It gets people knowing that their, A, hard work gets recognized, but, B, that they'll be rewarded in some way, right? Whether it's not here anymore, whether you become a hot GM candidate or the next head scout of a rival team. You build that kind of culture, it gets people to want to come to work every day and do their best. Not just cover their butts. For years, one of the hallmarks under Snyder and Bruce Allen and other boobs that were overmatched and shouldn't have been in any kind of seat, let alone in charge of an NFL franchise, is everybody was scurrying. The instant it started to go south, the leaks would come out. And, "Well, this one wasn't my fault. That was a Bruce Allen mastermind, or he did this, or I did that." Or, you know, they go 9-7, and everybody's mad that Scott McClune was getting too much credit for a team that went 8-7-1. It's pathetic. And that's over now. And that's, to me, his best asset to this point.